Abby.
And I'm Allie.
And it's
About Time for True Crime.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
So good.
You guys wouldn't know because we're just good like that, but it has been a minute since Allie and I really recorded.
I know. We haven't been able to sit together because I went on vacation.
Yeah, you did. Ugh, how was it?
It was so good.
Hi, Mrs. Allie.
I know. I went on a vacation with my mom, two of us, and it was amazeballs. I'm very lucky because I'm very close with my mom. My mom's my best friend. And I'm realizing as I get older, not everybody has that, but you see the dynamics change, and it makes me extra grateful for that.
No, I totally get that. Having parents that don't suck is such a blessing.
It really is. And
thanks,
and
mom. Thanks, dad.
You appreciate it as a kid, but I think you appreciate it more in adulthood.
Yeah, I think as a kid, there's an element of it that's like, well, this is normal. This is what everybody has. And or like, yeah, that's how it should be, because it is how it should be. But not mm-hmm. everybody gets that luxury. So it is a really nice thing to have. And your mom's like the best.
Isn't she, though?
She is. She's such a cutie.
So it was a lot of fun. And I'm a little bit sunburned and loving every second of it. And then I came back to a snowstorm here in New England. And that is just fitting. So I'm back. I'm refreshed.
You guys don't know what it's like to be best friends with someone until you get the Snapchat that's like, do you even want to know how red my tits are right now?
Yep. And then I didn't wait for an answer and no. I sent another
one.
Yeah,
you did. I was like,
I was so burnt.
I know.
You looked such a harsh line.
You looked like a little Neapolitan ice cream with your little tan skin and your pale skin and your red skin. I was like, oh, it's all there. Gang's all here.
Seriously, though. And you could see where I just missed the sunscreen. I was like, yeah. You son of a bitch.
Just a little streak.
But you know what? Worth it.
So worth it. And I'm so excited because we're going to go on vacation again
with
your mom soon. So I can't wait. And I'm going on vacation soon. So
I'm so excited for that too.
Allie and I are probably going to be a smidge. Obnoxious about it, but it'll be fun obnoxious, so you guys can all be there with us.
Oh yeah, you guys come with us everywhere. I mean, you guys are all piled in my living room right now. It's a little weird, but
we might, if we figure out a way how, even be able to record a thing or two on vacation for you guys to listen to.
Oh hell yeah.
So anyway, I'm excited.
Yeah,
but I do want to jump into today's case. I don't know if you guys can hear it, but my voice is struggling. So
I think it sounds amazing. So
well, thank you. I have been sick for like 2 fucking weeks and I'm so over it. And it's at the point now where like I feel mostly good, but like I hit the point where I started sounding worse than I felt. And now it's just like my voice is lagging behind. So I'm hoping that I don't like run out of sound by the end of this, because I really want to talk to you today about Rena Virk.
Okay, tell me.
All right. So hi. Hello. Howdy.
Hey.
Hey, all you pod party people. Welcome back to your favorite true crime podcast, About Time for True Crime.
Aw.
Or I guess, you know, welcome if it's your first time. But hey, Foreshadow will be your favorite. Love it. today's case is just gonna suck. I'm just gonna give that heads up.
Awesome.
It is. I wanted to talk about a case of bullying gone wrong.
Oh no.
And for all of you who are alive and watching Disney Channel and ABC Family in the early 2000s, I don't mean Cyber Bully, the 2011 movie starring Emily Osment, okay?
Yeah.
I am talking about something real life, awful, terribly real consequences. And I will just list some of my sources so we know. Of course, they're all always linked below. But for brevity and sanity's sake, I'll just give you the highlight reel. I used an episode from Wicked and Grim, which is a true crime podcast that I personally like a lot. I've been listening to them a lot lately.
Ooh.
It's a husband and wife duo, and they are very fun. They're from Canada, actually.
Okay.
Which is where our case takes place today. So I really enjoyed listening to their take, since they have a little more knowledge on like the intricacies of living there and knowing what that process is like. But I also used the Canadian Encyclopedia, CBC, CTV, News Vancouver, Global News, and more. And I do also want to offer a hefty trigger warning here for intense child-on-child abuse, shitty teenager behavior, bullying and just in general, like, having to exist around awful people. So
assholery.
Yeah. General assholery. Okay. TM, if you will.
Sure.
But before we get too far into it, though, I want to take you back in time to the Dark Ages.
Oh, my.
And by that, I do mean the Dark Ages before blue light took over everything and we became hooked on the internet and blue light was everywhere we looked. So I want to take you back to pre-internet.
Okay.
So the true Dark Ages, if you will.
Yeah, what they went through back then didn't, it pales in comparison to what we had before internet.
Truly.
I mean, really, I mean, talking quality of life here.
Everything was fine and not everyone was addicted to their fucking screens. Damn it.
Simpler times.
Truly. As I was growing up, the internet had just started growing in use, in popularity, and accessibility. And in fact, I was well into teenagedom when Instagram became popular for posting shitty, poor-lit photos of your subpar dinner to say, yum, Taco Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Hashtag Taco Tuesday.
Hashtag taco, hashtag Tuesday, hashtag Taco Tuesday, hashtag yum, hashtag I needed this, hashtag I hate geometry.
Mm-hmm.
With a sepia filter.
Correct. Okay.
I relish in that. I really liked being in the quote-unquote frontier of the internet because I consider our generation to be the last that actually knew what it was like to have to play outside and mm-hmm. not be told you have to play outside.
Yeah.
And to use our imagination. And one of the things that it didn't really click until I got older, but it is just so much harder to navigate being young with the internet.
Because you're not young. You are instantly in over your head.
There's a reason that, like, okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying any children are attractive. But, like, there's a reason that kids now are, like, skipping the quote-unquote ugly phase. And it's because you can look up how to contour your fucking face in every social media platform. And you see it on every other person.
They don't have the blue eyeshadow phase anymore. Which is, and you know what? I think it was important to my growth to have.
It is. You have to be a little ugly for a little bit. Yes. So you can have a personality, you know?
That's how I got funny.
Exactly.
But seriously, I mean, yes, not saying that kids are attractive by any means. Don't fucking twist them. Don't. And if you think that's the case, there's a 3-digit number you should call. 911. Anyway, so.
What's the number for 911 again?
So they do. They skip that ugly phase where it's almost like they go from 10 years old. To 20.
Yeah.
And they look like
20.
Beautiful and they dress that way. I couldn't. Girl, if I tried to wear anything like that, my parents would have been like, turn your ass around, go back upstairs, come out with something appropriate.
The way that I wore knee-length black cargo shorts with a Happy Bunny t-shirt and the same Converse, none of which matched, for 4 years straight is so much of why I am the way I am today.
The way we felt so fucking cool to wear those collared Hollister shirts.
Yes. Oh, and the gauchos. Do you remember the gaucho era?
I miss gauchos. Why don't we have those anymore?
Because my calves look disgusting in them, Allie.
And we all wore them with sneakers.
Yep. Oh, and the pride. Ooh.
Oh.
We loved it. So the point is, none of you can verify this because there wasn't internet at that time that was widely prevalent and used, you know, mm-hmm. like we might have our family's Kodak time stamped pictures that float around our fucking screensaver every time the computer goes unused for 30 minutes. But like,
and we don't have those pictures we took on our Razor cell phones in the mirror with the duck face and the peace sign. And
I wanted one of those hot pink Motorola razors so bad.
No,
my cousin had one and I was like, oh, what a hottie.
I thought I was so cool when I got a flip up phone. I'm like, oh, I can text. And my parents, they were smart because this was horseshit. They told me that my phone could only send and receive 200 messages a month, so I had to use it sparingly. So I'd have a conversation with someone and I was like, oh no, that was 20 messages. And I would freak out and I'm like doing the math and trying to count, and I'm like, so I might have gone over. And they're like, don't go over. There was no fucking cap on it. They just didn't want me being obsessed with my phone.
No, literally.
It was like, go out and live, be a kid. No, you can't use it that much. And that was just when all you could do was text and play Tetris.
No, exactly. And you know, my mom always used to talk about how not understanding how kids could really grow up and make mistakes as kids. Mm-hmm. Because now, especially with the internet, it's like you say one thing, that's timestamped in the internet forever. Connected to you.
You don't get to be a dumb kid and grow up and learn, and you're supposed to make mistakes. That's what your childhood is right. for.
Well, and not without constant, never-ending proof and the ability to bring it back up. I really wanted to do a case specifically about bullying today because I think that it's something that we see so often. And there were a few cases I considered doing before I got to this one. And I was like, this is it.
Yeah.
But like some of them just really, it sucks. Like you make one split second choice and your life is different forever.
Mm-hmm.
And with kids, when you don't know how to handle that, you don't have those coping skills, you don't have the ability to leave that mistake in the past, it can have some really serious consequences.
Hmm.
And so the other thing I wanted to talk about before we jump all the way in is I want to remind you to take the time to think back to your middle school teenage years.
It hurts.
And think of the shittiest thing you did.
I was such an asshole.
Because it's shitty. I guarantee you, I was shitty. I was shitty for like a hot minute.
But, and you had to do your time, right?
You do.
I don't know her. I don't claim her. I don't know who she was.
If you knew me in middle school and not since, you don't know me.
No. And, but that's your time to be that asshole. To hopefully not do anything that's lasting or permanent. Because when you're a kid, everything feels permanent, but yet nothing is, right? Oh, I hate this class. My life is over. Or, oh, I spilled something on my shirt and it was embarrassing. My life is over. And so all of these things that we think are huge that aren't.
Right.
But then all of the things that we might think that aren't could be.
Right.
And there's that really weird time where like this is everything and this is nothing at the same time.
Yeah. And you have no experience of the passage of time into adulthood. Like when I think of being a kid, you know how the days felt so much longer? I'm pretty sure it's because one day was just such a larger percentage of your life. Like when you're three, one day is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's so much of your life. And not having the ability to look back and say, oh, okay, really, it does. I get out of this by the time I'm 18 and I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that feels so long when you're 14.
Oh, for
another
sure.
4 years? Are you kidding?
But you have to do your time of learning and paying the consequences of that and having friends and not being friends with them anymore. And
right. And figuring out what pain is worth going through for people and what pain is like, that's a relationship ender. We're done.
You have to be a shit and then people are going to be a shit to you and you'll say, wow, I really didn't like how that felt. I won't be a shit anymore.
Exactly. And so I want you to think about that. And I want you to reflect on, hopefully, how far you've come. Because
if you're still the same person,
girly pop, if you go online to Psychology Today, you can put in your insurance and where you are and you can get a therapist and it's great.
Because yikes.
But I want to talk today about someone who is wonderful. She was a good person in her soul and she did some shit things. But who didn't at 14?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean she deserved anything that happened to her. And it doesn't mean that if she had lived to be 15, she wouldn't have corrected those, you know? And so, you know, sometimes people don't grow enough to realize that what they did was wrong. Sometimes people don't have the luxury of being able to apologize and having someone else forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
Today, unfortunately, is someone who never got the chance to grow. And it's not because she didn't want to, and it's not because she didn't put that time and energy in or she wouldn't have, but it's because it was time she was robbed of. And so today I want to talk to you about Rena Virk. Luckily for today's case, though, it happened in the 90s, so we are pre-internet age. Bless up. Rena's troubles didn't continue on her phone. There was no cyberbullying to experience 25/8, and she was able to have a momentary escape whenever she could. It also meant her biggest mistakes weren't immortalized with timestamps in internet history, which is really just a blessing for everyone who was able to get away without that.
Yeah, it's a luxury they didn't know they had at the time.
Exactly. But before we hop all the way into the story today, I do just want to add some cultural information that I think is important here.
Mm-hmm.
Because We are talking about the mid to late 90s in British Columbia, Canada. Saanich, to be exact. I think that's how you pronounce it. Sorry, Canada, if I'm wrong.
sorry to all of Canada, the yes, entire country.
Every one of you and the flag. Okay. My apologies.
Correct.
Now, we're zooming in on Rena Virk in 1996-ish.
Okay. What a pretty name.
Yes. Rena was 14, and while she was going through it, don't get me wrong, every 14-year-old is going through it, she was a delightful kid. Her parents are convinced that if she was still around today, she'd be in a helping profession. She loved other people, and she really loved kids. Her siblings included, but, like, any baby that she could help take care of, she was on it. So, like, you know, she had a rockin' babysitting business.
Yeah.
Probably with, like, the cutest little, like, cards. Like, call me if you want a date night.
Aww.
Rena craved acceptance and friends, like any 14-year-old does.
Yeah.
But Rena had an incredibly difficult time fitting in, and this was for a number of reasons. Not only was she bullied, but she really didn't have anyone who understood her. Rena's dad was an immigrant to Canada from India, and Rena's mom was an Indo-Canadian, which is, I guess, a subgroup of Canadians that are descendants from other Indian immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Which is cool. I didn't know that that was its own cultural subgroup. But they lived in an area where a lot of people practice Sikh as their religion. Mm-hmm. And Rena's family initially was practicing Hinduism. I don't know if this was during her life, but they did convert to Jehovah's Witnesses. So she was like a minority within a minority within a minority. Which okay. meant she didn't have friends that understood her at school. Her parents were definitely in a different culture than her friends were. And even within the culture that her parents were in, they were minorities because they didn't have the same religion that everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
So they were living in their own little bubble. And it was so isolating for Rena. On top of that, Rena didn't fit in, again, with her peers, not with the other immigrants from India, not with other Jehovah's Witnesses. And to add a little cherry on that little cake of puberty and cultural isolation, Rena was an early bloomer.
Oh.
And now, for anyone else who grew up a little too fast physically, I know you understand the pain of being an early bloomer. It is not all it's cracked up to be.
Oh, that was me. And it's not Same. It's not cracked up to be good at all. It sucks.
It sucks. You feel like a weird giant in comparison to all of your friends.
I was not the giant, but I was the...
No offense.
Fuck you.
Sorry.
I was definitely not the giant.
Yeah.
But you feel like something's wrong with you because you're dealing with things your friends aren't. No. It's like, why am I crying? Why am I right. like, you know, like, why am I the unhinged one? They were like, we just wanted to play Nintendogs.
Why do I need antiperspirant now? I'm in fourth fucking grade.
Yes.
Right? And that and like, you know, you get your first fucking bra and you're self-conscious because people can see that there's a line under your t-shirt that wasn't there before. Like, there's all of these things. And Rena was a tall girl. She was a little bit bigger, probably for kids. Like, she is a perfectly normal human being.
Yeah, the rest were going to catch up, but she was ahead.
Right. And so that in and of itself is isolating. And so Rena, according to some of her friends, were just... She was just really insecure about her body and her weight and how she fit in or didn't. And Rena also rebelled against her parents' strict rules. I mean, literally, what teenager doesn't? Like,
yeah, part of your teenage years is pushing boundaries.
Right.
Seeing what you can get away with.
Seeing what you can get away with and then figuring out how much of those you identify with on your own, apart from your family, but being like, okay, yeah, actually, this does make sense why they do this. And she never really got to that point. So all she got to was the pushing. And Rena, I think she had some friends that were in the foster care system. I don't have a lot of concrete evidence on this, but I did hear it from a source or two, and I don't know where they got it from. But either way, she really glorified the foster care system. And Rena really wanted to go to a group home. She wanted to be in foster care.
Really?
She did. It was a little bit strange, but I also think it makes sense. Like, if you're like, oh, my whole life is awful and everything's ruined. I need to get away from here. And that's a way to get away from here. Like, I can understand where a 14-year-old would go there.
Is there any evidence of abuse at home?
Nothing that's concrete. And in fact, Rena put in a false report of abuse against her father. And got what she wanted. She was removed from her home and put in a group home. while that investigation was ongoing, which, like, props to Canada for taking preemptive safety measures.
Yeah.
But of course, Rena got to this group home and she realized that this isn't going to fix all of her problems. You know, now she's dealing with all of the same things, but she doesn't have the comfort of home.
And she doesn't have the support of the family that she probably took for granted.
Right, exactly. And so it did take a little bit of time, but she did actually take back her false accusation and she was allowed back home.
Oh, that is not the way to handle problems for anybody listening.
No, it's not.
False accusations are not the way to go.
And truly, she's lucky that she didn't face any charges for that, because that's a crime in and of itself.
Yep.
But her parents welcomed her back with open arms. They were like, we love you. We're just glad you're home.
Yeah.
Which is so heartbreaking knowing what's coming. And so just as the group home didn't solve her problems, returning home didn't solve them either. Aside from the fact that I'm assuming perhaps home felt a little more warm and welcoming afterwards, Rena's life at school got worse.
Mm.
Allegedly. And I say allegedly because I don't have proof of what this was. There was no details shared in any of the sources that I looked at. But allegedly, Rena had been blamed for spreading a rumor about a girl at school and quote unquote attempting to steal her boyfriend, which is like the most high school shit you can think of.
Correct.
Ever. But again, I have nothing to say what this rumor was, who was involved, why this was a thing. So it's possible. It's absolutely possible. But I just don't have more to tell you about it. This rumor made Rena's situation a lot worse at school. See, Rena wasn't a social outcast, even if she wasn't everybody's like popular best friend, you mm-hmm. know? And so on November 14th in 1997, Rena was invited to go to a party one night. If I remember right, it was behind the school that she went to in like a field. And when she got there, like, kids were drinking, they were smoking weed, they were doing the whole teenage rebellion thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she got there and I think she partook a little, not a lot, but eventually mm-hmm. the cops got called and it was pretty quick. And so the cops came, and of course, all of the kids disperse and run like fucking mice when you turn on the lights in the cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
And someone had told her they were going to reconvene. And so they were like, hey, we're having the still party after party at this bridge called the Craig Flower Bridge. That was a little bit further away. And Rena was like, sick, down. I'm in. I'm going.
An after party under a bridge?
It's like at a bridge. I think it might have been like a public park or something.
Okay.
And I don't know that it was really an after party so much as like the cops don't know we're going there.
Yeah.
But upon arriving, it didn't take long for it to go south. So Craig Flower Bridge, it is in Saanich. And once Rena got there, other kids were already there. I assume they all kind of showed up at the same point. It doesn't sound like she took 3 hours to get there or anything.
Right.
But when she got there, the girl who was allegedly the target of this rumor put a cigarette out on Rena's head.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then after that, a group of like 8 kids started beating the shit out of Rena.
Oh, my God. My heart.
And reports say it lasted anywhere from like 3 to 5 minutes, but this is 8 kids repeatedly kicking her, punching her in the abdomen, in the face. And all Rena could do is like cry and say, I'm sorry.
All she did was show up.
All she did was show up.
And they were fine with her 20 minutes ago at the other house.
Literally. And then one girl puts out her fucking cigarette on someone's face, mind you.
That is barbaric.
It is disgusting. And so I don't know. The podcast that I listened to on it, that Grimm and the Wicked and Grimm podcast, mm-hmm. they made a comment that like Bohemian Rhapsody is just over 5 minutes. So that's like getting beaten up by 8 people for the entirety of Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's a strange way to put it, but holy shit.
But it puts it into perspective. Like, that's not a short song.
Yeah, because you have, like, the mama part, and then you have the, like...
Like, all that
Galileo.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. And so, 6 of the kids left, and Rena was able to get up, and she sort of stumbled over, trying to go to the other side of the bridge. But 2 kids stayed behind. Kelly Ellard, who was 15, and Warren Glowatsky, who was 16.
So and it's just kids beating up another kid.
Yes. So Warren was the oldest at 16. So this is 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, and 16-year-olds doing all of this. So just let that sink in. Because after Rena got up and was sort of stumbling across the bridge, Warren and Kelly kind of let her go for a little. They followed her. But I'm assuming this has to be a pretty large bridge, or they were very impatient, because before the end of it, they started taunting her and sort of pushing her forward.
And she's just trying to get away.
Yep. After this 5-minute beating from hell from 8 of your school bullies.
I mean, I'm not making light of it, but I mean, I can walk into like a door handle and hit my hip the wrong way.
Yeah.
And I need to take like 10 seconds because it hurts so bad.
Yeah.
And I have a high pain tolerance, but sometimes you get a hit like in the right spot where it's like, oh God, ow.
Mm-hmm.
You think of that playing over and over and over again all over your body from 8 different directions for minutes.
And all you're doing is laying there crying and apologizing.
So was everybody there, the 8 people that beat her up?
Yeah.
So
I'm assuming. That, or I did read that some of the extra people left before the first beating.
So they didn't, okay. But it's so not like other people like, just stood in a circle and were like, yeah, no. Go. I mean, but the fact that
luckily it was not like an 80s high school movie that way, but like,
but what an awful just... Not only to witness it, but to partake in it, and then to agree with it, and then to follow the poor...
Yeah.
Can you just leave her?
And it does get worse. Because towards the end of this bridge, when they start taunting her and sort of jeering at her, they push her a little bit. And they end up pushing her head into a tree. And, I assume she smacked it pretty hard because she became unconscious after that.
So they didn't just push. I mean, they shoved her into a tree.
They put that girl's head into a tree.
Oh.
And after she was passed out, they dragged her down to the water underneath the bridge. And Kelly fucking Ellard literally put, I'm assuming with the help of Warren, put Rena face down in this lake underneath this bridge, lit a cigarette, and held her head under the water with her fucking shoe while she smoked the cigarette.
Oh.
And that is how Rena Virk died. The police didn't find her body for another 8 days.
Oh, her poor family looking for her.
Yeah. And when they did find her, and this is something that I was confused by, because I knew that Warren and Kelly had dumped out her backpack contents into the river. But nobody said anything about undressing her. And when she was found half naked. But there was no element of sexual assault. So I don't know what happened there.
Just to humiliate her further?
That's kind of my assumption based off of what assholes these fucking kids are.
If you put a cigarette out on somebody, while that's painful and an awful thing to do, there's symbolism behind that. I think so little of you, you're an ashtray to me.
Yep.
That's in the same vein where I could see that there wouldn't be any element of sexual gratification from it, but just a further way to dehumanize her.
No, exactly. And the idea to me, I think, I don't know if she thought she was being fucking cool or what, but the idea of holding someone's head underneath the water with your foot while you smoke a cigarette is just so fucking barbaric. That is depraved.
You just, like an ant, just... Yep. Snuff right out.
And don't get me wrong, smoking is not cool. It fucks with your lungs. I understand why some people think it's cool to drop a cigarette on the floor and put it out with their little heel. That's fun. What's not fun is ending someone's life and enjoying some fresh nick while you're doing it. Fuck that. And I don't know what Warren was doing during this time, because he wasn't the one that held her head under there.
He's probably just laughing, shooting the shit anyway. So
it's my guess.
Are Kelly and Warren together?
No.
Oh.
Warren has a girlfriend who actually went home before the fight broke out. That's how I know that people left.
Well, she dodged a bullet. I hope she dumped his ass.
Yes. And she was also And I feel so bad because she should not feel regret over any of this. She took no part in it, but she was like, he offered to take me home and I said no. And I regret not having him drive me home because he wouldn't have been there to do it. And I'm like, yeah, well, he could have also just not done it. But
if he wanted to kill somebody and he'd made up his mind that they were going to beat the ever loving shit out of a classmate, whether he took the 15 minutes to drive her home and come back or not, didn't matter.
Yeah, probably not. And so this is how Rena Virk's life ended. They killed a human being.
She was 14.
14-year-old.
She lived long enough.
Over a fucking rumor.
She lived long enough to make the stupid mistakes that we all make and didn't live long enough to do right by them.
Exactly. And like that is part of why I had such a big intro on that. It's like, yeah, she did some shitty things. But literally what 14-year-old doesn't do shitty things and then learns from them and is like, thank God I got the opportunity to learn from that.
The other piece of it is, even if she was a shitty person through and through.
Yep.
Shit kid, shit teenager, shit adult, all of that. That is still a human and you have to maintain some kind of decency. No, and obviously I don't believe that of her, but even if it were, that doesn't matter. You don't have the right to take someone else's life, no matter what you think of them.
Well, and that's the...
That is what separates us from every other species, okay?
Bless up.
That is just...
It's depraved. And, like, I know that this is not what depraved heart murder is, but I wish there was a way to add an extra depraved onto a murder charge to just be like, do you see this, though? Like, do you see what happened here? Because... It's not negligent. It's not like they were driving a car and she stepped out in front of them and they couldn't help it. This, in fact, was no part Rena. Even if she spread a rumor. Even if she had a hard time fitting in.
She was obviously struggling.
Yeah.
And who knows what her home life was like, regardless of the allegations that she made. If she felt like it was so bad to be there that she'd rather... being a group home,
right?
Whether it was that bad or that was just her perception was her reality. Does it mean it's rooted in fact? No, but it was real to her,
right? And so that is her whole existence.
She was struggling with something, and or several things.
Yeah, and I don't know. I have such a hard time with this because, you know, and you guys know, I love my unicorn shitting rainbows world. I love the idea that like people just mean well, like. Shit happens. We all make mistakes.
It's a great idea.
It's such a comfortable bubble to live in. And it is such an unrealistic bubble to live in all the time. And don't get me wrong. I'll live there as much as I possibly can because it's a whole hell of a lot better than most of reality. But like, sometimes people are just shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly Ellard in this situation and Warren Glowatsky in this situation were just shit. I mean, that's really all there is. And so...
Couldn't you just subtweet her like a normal teenager?
Right? Or write on the bathroom stall, like, Rena sucks with an X. Like,
honestly. And that could have been the extent of it. And she would have gotten upset and they would have felt cool.
Yeah.
And then hopefully, like, 2 weeks passes and everyone forgot about the whole thing.
Right.
Because
and
that's
there's a new
what,
rumor because Joey Schmagoli cheated on his girlfriend. Like, and that would have been it.
Going after Italians, huh?
Yeah. Well, all my favorite people are Italians, so...
Joey Schmagoli is my fucking cousin, bit. No, I'm just kidding.
Cousin Christopher!
Christopher!
But I do want to talk about the prosecution, because this took a hot minute. And I will say, bless up for Canada. They did a pretty fucking fabulous job.
Did they give them all life?
Yes.
Okay, I don't like that. I'll be honest. I'm not loving that.
I want to start with the group, though, because there was a group of six students. The six kids that beat up Rena that were not Kelly or Warren did get charged. And they got charged with the assault, basically.
And I mean, and that makes sense.
And they should.
They didn't. I struggle with this because I know. I mean, not that it doesn't still happen now, but I think. Everyone having a phone and everyone taking videos. There's a lot of things that used to happen that simply can't anymore. And there are some things, there are some ways that is a benefit to society, I think. But I think there's also plenty where it's not. But part of it being that kids used to be kids and they would fight. And if you had a fight with somebody, you beat them up and yep. your friends beat up their friends and you did whatever. And was that right? No, but it was a way of that people handled it at the time.
Yep.
And I think we see that less now, maybe just because you can whip out a phone and there's proof of it. And before yep. there wouldn't have been.
It's a lot easier to get away when there's not recorded versions of everything from every angle.
But there used to be, I think, in some circles, sort of an equality piece of it. Like, it's not going to be a gang of 10 people against one, but you're going to put one against one. And right. when someone goes down, it's done.
Yep.
Like, it's over. It ends. I mean, girls are scrappy. I'm not going to say it was just the guys, but I think that it was so much more common before.
Yeah.
So, are they wrong? For fucking sure. Was it probably more common then than it was that it is now to duke it out with your hand, like, you know, fight somebody? But a group on one person, you fucking pieces of shit.
And the thing is, like, yes.
This poor for what? Like,
I know. For being a 14-year-old, truly. And that's it. And, like, I should note that culturally, at least in this area, there has been at least a few reports in the sources that I've looked at that it was very influenced by LA gang culture. And so, like, it does make sense that there was a lot of violence, that there was groups of people that were willing to be violent. But like you're saying, it's very seldom a group on one. And when it is, there's usually a better fucking reason than a rumor spread by a 14-year-old.
Yeah. You'd hope.
And I want to say, I forgot to get all the way into the autopsy report, but the autopsy report did say that she had died by the drowning. Mm. So she was unconscious. She didn't die when she hit the tree. She died in the water. And it was consistent with drowning in shallow water. She had rocks in her throat and all of that from the bottom of the river or lake or whatever was under that bridge.
So she didn't wake up, try to get up, and this girl, like, kept her foot on her head.
No, she was unconscious the whole time.
And, I mean, getting obviously beat up didn't help things, but it sounds like what did her in, what was the cause of death, was hitting her head, going unconscious, and then
being drowned,
being in the water.
Yes.
So that's those, that's Warren and Kelly's.
Yes, which is why those two are the ones that were charged with the murder. The thing that I think is worth mentioning, and part of why I felt so gratified that the other six were still brought to trial, was that between the TBI from the head, so that's still Kelly and Warren,
mm-hmm.
but also the injury she sustained to her head and abdomen from the beating, she wasn't likely to live anyway.
Wow, seriously?
It was that bad.
Ugh.
And so when the six other girls that were there got tried, I was like, fuck yes, try those fucking kids. Like, they would have killed her.
It was all girls?
Yeah, Warren was the only boy.
Are you kidding? I don't know why I was picturing.
Because boys tend to be more violent than girls. Not here.
Jeez.
It was all girls, except for him. He was the oldest one and the only boy.
Oh, no.
And so,
I'm sure his girlfriend loved that.
Yeah, right?
That's the next rumor. See, and it all could have been blown over by the...
Right?
Ugh.
I know. And so, I am glad they all did get convicted of assault. Three of them did plead guilty, which, bless up. And a few of them have actually come forward to sort of claim that that was them, take responsibility for that. But because Canada's juvenile system is so, like, on lock, they won't even release names if it's a youth under 18, which I like. So I hate that we know some of their names because that means they did something. But I appreciate those that have grown and come forward and said, hey, this wasn't right, but maybe I can do something to make some part of it better.
And it's just shitty because you're 14, you think the things that are happening to you are permanent, but you don't think that the things that you are doing are permanent.
Right.
And I feel like with that flawed logic, it's really switched. A lot of the things that are happening to you are temporary, but the things you are doing have the potential to be right. permanent. And so you inflict things on other people. It's like, play stupid games, win stupid fucking prizes. I mean, that you beat her within an inch of her life, and then your friends went and finished the job. They're still just answering.
Because the other two finished it before her injuries could end her life doesn't mean the injuries weren't permanent and very serious.
Yeah, but you still have to answer for what you did. But there's another part of me that's like, geez, should the rest of your life be determined by something you did at 14 when you are a decade away from your brain being fully developed?
Yeah.
You know, but
some things, I believe so. Some things, not so much. Like, don't, again, I'm not saying it's right or good or justified in any right, but putting a cigarette out on someone's face is not the same as killing them.
But it's just, it's all,
it's all awful.
It's all bad. And I think the further back in time you go, teenagers will be like, yeah, I did some stupid stuff. And yeah, we used to beat each other up. And, you know, we were friends the next week or we weren't. But right, that was how we settled things. And that's, you know.
And there was no Instagram reels to post yeah. on to
but
fucking see it everywhere after that.
But maybe it didn't get that far. You know, someone would get a bloody nose. Someone might right. fall. And that's where it ended. You didn't kick somebody repeatedly when they were down. You didn't cause brain damage. You didn't give somebody a TBI. You didn't
right.
break bones and, you, didn't, you know, damage organs. You didn't
put
kill
the
somebody.
Fucking sole of your shoe on someone's head underwater. That's too far for me personally. And like, we're going to talk about it because these six, they did receive consequences, and primarily they're doing quite well, which is good news. You know, like, this is trauma. Even if they partook in it and like made some of it happen, I am sure that they are all still talking about it in therapy if they go, you know.
Oh, I have so many different thoughts on it, and I feel like I can see so many different ways, but ultimately someone died,
and for a pointless fucking reason. And like, truly, we will see a mix, because the way that Warren and Kelly handled this, completely fucking opposite.
Oh, okay.
But I think that it's worth noting that, like, the ones that didn't have the lifelong implications of this event are still going to have lifelong implications from this. And also, at least some of them have taken it in stride and decided to do better. Which, you know what? Progress is progress. I'll give it to them. Now, I do want to talk about Warren, because while the other six kids were charged with Rena's assault, Kelly and Warren were charged with Rena's murder, and they were charged as adults, which is why we have their names.
As they should be.
Right. I mean, you're old enough to know that you shouldn't fucking murder someone.
Correct.
That part of our brain has been established by that point in time.
And a reasonable person wouldn't think she'd get up and walk away from that either.
No. And so I want to talk, though, because Warren did have a tough situation. And again, this is not one of those where, like, it's all okay because of this. But I mm-hmm. want to give the context, because Warren was 16. His mom and dad, while he was a kid, pretty much stayed together just to raise him and got a divorce in the near past at this point in time. And Warren had decided to stay with his dad. His mom struggled intensely with substance use and alcoholism. And because of that, Warren decided it was a better idea to live with his dad. But Warren's dad went on vacation to Las Vegas at one point. And while he was in Las Vegas, he met a girl that he fell in love with and decided to move to California with her. So at this point in time, Warren was living alone.
As a 16-year-old.
As a 16-year-old.
Raising himself.
His dad sent checks pretty frequently. His girlfriend's mom sometimes did his laundry and sometimes cooked him dinner. But like,
so he should be arrested for neglecting his child.
Yep.
And Warren still needs to answer to what he did. I'm
right.
with you. All
no.
right.
So it doesn't make what Warren did okay, but it's nope. important to know. And I think that part of this also
context is important.
Is that, like, to survive, Warren ended up joining a gang. And part of that, and I'm so fascinated by gangs. If you want us to do a CJ short on it, I would love to, because gang culture is fucking wild. Also, not saying they're good, but in COVID there were gangs in Chicago that would deliver groceries to old ladies, and I was like, wait guys, it's kind of cute. Don't hurt each other, but like, yeah, if you want a DoorDash to like grandma down the street, that's okay.
I just want both teams to have fun.
No, exactly. A good clean game, guys.
Yeah.
Anyway, part of his initiation into this gang was himself taking a severe beating like this from the gang. And so for him, again, not saying it's right, but for context, he was probably pretty normalized to all the violence. And he probably didn't bat an eye at it when he was like, ah, yes, more violence.
Right.
Okay. And I also just want to say that, you know, he's a stupid kid who made stupid choices and he had no guidance. The thing that really stuck out to me from that Wicked and Grim podcast was they were like, there's nobody there to even tell him like, hey, bud, it's 9 o'clock. It's getting late and you have a big day tomorrow. There was no adult for him to say, hey, I need help with my homework.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't know what to do with that. At 16, I was a fucking shit. You know, like,
yeah.
Bless up, I'm not 16, but bless up, I had really good, loving family members who took care of me and taught me why the things I was doing were so shitty.
Yeah.
Because how else are you going to know? And so with that, Warren was tried. He was found guilty of, I think they were both charged with second degree murder, but at least Warren was.
Okay.
I'm
not familiar with Canada's distinctions with all of that anyway.
And Warren did get a life sentence, but it was with the possibility of parole.
Okay.
And one of the things I want to say here is that he was so remorseful. He took so much accountability so early on. He apologized. He showed so much remorse to the fact that, like, when the first time parole was an option, Rena's family had no problems with him being out on parole.
And that weighs heavy.
That's he killed their daughter and they were like, okay, like, fuck.
I don't know. Yeah, he'll never not be in pain,
right,
for what, you know, what he's done. He's serving his own life sentence being, yes, with himself.
And he did not get granted that first parole option. Actually, mm-hmm, he had 5 years added onto his sentence because, ooh, when Kelly's court case came up, he actually refused to testify, saying that it was going to jeopardize his safety in prison, and they found him guilty of contempt of court for that and added 5 years.
Wow.
Which is like, kind of go you, Canada, but also like, can we make sure he's safe? Like,
yeah, that's,
yeah. So, I just want to say that. And then later in 2010, Warren was released on parole. So Warren is out doing his thing.
So he served, what, at least 12 years?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, all right. Wow, so a life sentence
was 12 years.
12
served.
Years, wow.
And okay, that was with an extra 5.
Wow.
Added, yeah.
Okay, those mean different things to me then.
Yep, yes they do.
Jesus.
So I want to talk about Kelly, because Kelly, unfortunately, is a significantly different story than Warren.
Yeah, you sounded really like he's remorseful, and you didn't say they both were.
No, he he's very remorseful. Kelly may have changed her tune a little bit these days, but it, boy, it was a process. So she too was charged with the murder of Rena. I believe the second degree murder, but again, I don't know the full distinctions there. And the only charge I saw was second degree, and it talked about both of them. So I'm assuming it applies to both.
Mm.
But I never saw anything specifically about Kelly's charge. However, Kelly, unlike Warren, didn't have much remorse. In fact, she actually took it with stride. For about a year after this, she called herself Killer Kelly.
Wow.
Which is just nauseating.
I bet she did the K's like backwards too.
Oh, right. Yeah, with like a little circle or like a little heart over something.
What,
just to
dick,
be like, I'm cute, but I'm fierce. Rawr.
What a shitbag.
And so she did have court, but she, well, she had court like a year after everyone else because immediately she appealed being tried as an adult.
I mean, and those right, are her attorneys doing what they're paid to do.
Right, which is a good attorney, but it does mean that, you know, she had a year out and about just hanging.
Wow.
While they did that. Then they had the first trial. And here's the thing. There's a lot with Kelly's court cases. And I encourage you to go look it up. Personally, I don't have the stomach to deal with her that long at this point in time. And I say that with all due respect. I can't.
You don't have to respect her.
Oh, I said all due respect. I didn't say it was respect.
So 0%.
That's my favorite saying.
Because
all due respect can be anywhere from 0 to 100. It we're ranging about a net 5% right now. And so she was tried. And again, Warren did not testify at this first one. That is how he got those 5 years added on. But she was found guilty. And she appealed and won the appeal. And I don't know how the fuck this happens. Someone from Canada in law, please explain it to me. Because the appeal was based on the fact that she got asked the same question 18 times. I don't know how asking the same question over again is fucking grounds for an unconstitutional trial. Or whatever Canada calls it. Yeah. I don't know if it's constitutional or whatever. But like, I don't know how that's grounds for an appeal to be granted. Because if that was the case, every fucking 2-year-old who was asking why about why their macaroni was yellow should be on fucking trial. But what do I know? So then she had a second one. And the second court case was a hung jury at 11 to 1.
11 to 1 what?
I assume 11 people thought she was guilty and one person wasn't convinced.
You know what this brings me back to?
Hmm.
This brings me back to our conversations about female offenders,
mm-hmm,
and the two ways we see juries typically view women offenders. One is the fairer sex.
Yep. Well, she couldn't possibly.
She's a woman. She didn't mean it. It must have been the man. You know, any way to.
She must have been on a menses. She's okay.
She was on the rag. Oh, no. Yeah.
Fuck.
She was hysterical. So there's that where we sort of attribute this loving, nurturing, submissive quality to women where they couldn't possibly be capable of that. There must have been more going on. There's more to the story. She isn't, there's no way she's possible of just being evil, right? Right. Then the flip of that is that's how you should be. And because you weren't, you're fuck even you more diabolical, yeah, than men because you have this nurturing.
You have this ability, but you're opposing, yeah, it or something.
Yeah, you have, yeah, these maternal instincts that you chose to disregard, which makes you even that much more dangerous, which is why we need to punish you further.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of times we see in these bigger cases, it is the swing of the pendulum from one side to the other, yeah, with very little in middle ground, and it seems like they lean toward the first, which, right, was, well, she's a girl, well, it must have been him, well, I mean, fill in the blank, right? But
yeah. And so I believe that it was after the first one before the second, but it could have been after the second and before the third. They released Kelly on bail.
Shut your fucking mouth. Oh, are you kidding me?
I fucking wish I was kidding you,
Abigail.
At the third trial, she was found guilty.
So no double jeopardy in Canada?
Beats the fuck out of me. I'm assuming the hung jury was grounds for the appeal for the third one, because, yep, that's what I heard. But like somewhere in there, they did let her out.
I mean, hung, you can choose to.
And here's the thing.
She wasn't proven not guilty, but geez.
In case we were wondering, you know how we talked about like all that remorse and like with Warren, like he was really sad and he took it in stride and he was, yeah, like, yeah, I fucked up. I was a shitbag. And now I'm trying to do fucking whatever I can to make it better that I was a shitbag at 16. Yeah. Well, in that time that Kelly was out on bail, you know, she was picked up again on another assault charge, in case you were wondering, because she was out drinking and she was with this girlfriend and I guess some older woman, like older 50s, which to them in their young 20s is like this old woman.
Oh.
Come on. They couldn't find their phone, so they just assumed she stole it, and they beat the shit out of her, too.
Wow, so she's a little scrappy twatsicle.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. So that was that. And then in that time, also, she got in a lot of trouble with the jail system there. She broke a lot of rules.
She beat people up.
Started, which is a wild, I'm going to tell you a wild sentence right now. She started and overcame a substance use addiction while incarcerated in Canada.
Huh.
So I don't know how that makes sense, but that's a thing that's out there.
But Abby, drugs don't get in jails and prisons. It's illegal.
Wait, are we like doing a bit? Okay. But Allie, haven't you heard of prison hooch? It's nasty. They make it in their toilets.
I learned all about how to make that in a class once in college. And 0 out of 10 would not recommend it. Anyway.
No. Just, you know, your friendly ads to go to school for criminal justice.
Yeah, right?
You get to pretend you're in Criminal Minds and also learn how to make prison hooch.
So to learn that. All that and more, go to...
Apply at. But here's the thing. See, by 2016, Kelly had actually given birth to a child.
How in the fuck?
And I know what you're saying, Abby. Wasn't she incarcerated? Yeah. Yeah, she was. She had a pen pal boyfriend who was also incarcerated. And when he got released on like day bail, they were able to have like a little rendezvous in like a little cabin or something.
She got a conjugal visit?
Yeah.
Like she got a fucking furlough to go get laid?
Uh-huh. And then on the farm.
What there in was the Ted Bundy shit?
Brown chicken, brown cow, you know? And suddenly a mommy and a daddy loved each other very much. And boom, there's a prison baby. Who'd have thunk?
I didn't know storks delivered to prisons. That's interesting.
Yeah. Actually, Canada, they have a special delivery room where they have a full nursery for kids who are being raised by parents in the prison system.
No, she's not violent at all. She won't hurt that baby.
No. And you know what? She won't hurt the other one that she had by 2020 either.
Shut the fuck up.
Oh, I wish. You know how we were all like, but Ted Bundy, how did you impregnate a woman?
So who's like, even just from a financial perspective, okay, yeah. Who's paying for these kids?
All of Canada.
Because she's having kids that she's not going to be able to raise.
No. No.
And take care of. And she's not well.
No, clearly.
I'm not saying we should police who's allowed to have kids. That's not, but I am blown away that somebody doing a life sentence for murdering somebody earns those kinds of opportunities.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem very bleak if she's getting laid. Where's the deterrent? Where's the, I guess it depends what you believe prison's for, right?
Right.
But there's a piece of that where it's like, wow, that does not seem pleasant. I don't want to do that. Instead of, hey, I have a bed and free meals and I can see my boyfriend on the weekends and
play Atari on the fucking weekdays.
And like, I can have my kids and there's a little nursery for me to hang out with them. And so
this is
really
good.
I have like a babysitter and all of this shit. Like
someone else cooks for me.
Come on.
Well, and here's the thing. What is fucking insane is that it took her having a child for her to be like, huh, maybe life is precious.
Who
you don't
her?
Fucking say.
What happened? Like, there must be something that happened. I mean,
I don't want to say I hope, but I hope that's not just like the depravity of some sort of chemical imbalance in her head. Because if it's not, it means there's a chance for therapy and getting better. You know what I mean? But she has been released into day parole. She's out and about 5 days a week. 5 days a week, and on the weekend she has to check into her halfway home. So hard. But that now, was her life sentence. So I don't know what life is in Canada because it's a lot shorter than it is for
life
me.
Life seems pretty good.
Right?
Over this pretty much living... I fucking work all... I only get 2 days off. She gets fucking 5.
Yeah.
Ma'am.
And a place for her kids. And, you know, probably like whatever fucking... stew they're making that week.
So what did Rena's parents think about that's what I want to ask them. How do you feel about this bitch?
So Rena's parents wait, this is my favorite part. When she did get released, right, and she was granted those day trips and eventually like that time, one of the board members was like, it is so painfully ironic that it took you having a daughter to recognize the harm that you did in taking away someone else's. And then they let her go.
And then they still stamped it with approved.
Yep.
That's my issue. So you can connect those dots.
Part of her conditions, and this does make me giggle, was she was not allowed to have any relationship with Rena's family. Which, good. I mean, I don't think Warren had a big one anyway, but he was at least, like, able to apologize and, like, reach out and say, hey, I'm sorry. Can I do anything to support?
She's like, you know what? Damn it. That's the only reason I wanted to get out. So you may as well
Actually, just lock me back up. Throw away the key. So that was part of it.
I mean,
also part of it was she was not supposed to use any drugs. Bitch! None of us are supposed to use any drugs. How is that a condition of release? That's a condition of being a person in public. And that's not me saying like substance use disorder is like an easy thing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, why is that a specific condition for her release?
But if you are out of prison from a murder charge.
But don't listen.
You included.
You include. No drinking, okay?
Ugh.
Fucking A, dude.
I think what bothers me the most compared to Warren is that there was no remorse. There was no apology. She's like, I did it and I'd do it again. And then on the brief.
Hashtag killer Kelly. Hashtag killer. Hashtag Kelly. Hashtag.
Oh.
Does anybody have a cig? Like, what the fuck?
But even in the brief time that she was out in between, she still assaulted somebody else brutally.
Yes.
This is not
for a suspected taking of your phone when you're drunk at a bar. Like, you're not going to leave that shit on the back of the toilet that you squat over.
That's not growth. That's not change. And is Canada any safer for her being out? Hell no.
But now she has two babies.
So those are other people that can be victimized. They're still people.
Yep. Yeah. And like, allegedly, she's doing better and I'll take it. But like, it's still not good enough for me to say like, okay, let her out. With what proof? With what evidence is she doing better? Is it because she suddenly found a maternal bone in her body and we're like, ah, women, you must be okay now.
Mm.
I hate it.
I have so many issues.
So I do want to end today's episode though with just closure for the Virk family, because they've had a hell of a journey. Rena's parents became such important advocates against both bullying and racism in Canada, which is super cool. Like, they took this in stride. And in 2009, actually, the Virks were honored with British Columbia's Anthony J. Hulme or Hume Award of Distinction for their contributions to crime prevention and community safety, which is really fucking cool. And I really appreciate the work that they've done in the wake of Rena's murder. And further worth noting is that Rena's mom, Suman, actually died in a choking accident in a cafe in, I think, 2018, which was just after the 20-year anniversary of Rena's death.
Oh, how random.
Yeah, it was awful. And so Rena's dad, Manjeet, has carried this torch for the last 6 years on his own, which is just heavy and so heartbreaking. Mm. In one of the interviews I saw that Suman did prior to her death, she was talking
about... I'd hope so.
Right?
Sorry.
So I do just... I think it was so interesting because watching this interview, she was talking about how strange it is to have a child who's murdered. And having to not only deal with the grief of that, but also all of the criminal proceedings that come after that.
For years, this dragged on for them.
And it's not like they weren't there for every one of Kelly's fucking trials. And it's not like they weren't there for all of the 6 kids who were accused of the assault. It wasn't like they weren't there for Warren's. They were involved in every step of this process and advocated for more. And so Suman in this interview talks about how strange it is because you end up missing your kid more after all of that's done because you don't have the constant distraction of like, why aren't people fucking getting this? And those are my words, not hers. Mm-hmm. But just that whole like, the grief is heavier on the other side.
I imagine it was exceptionally challenging when you see your daughter's killer pregnant.
Yeah.
And have a child and children of her own.
Yeah.
That she's going to love, and your daughter never had that opportunity. She didn't even get to grow up, let alone grow up and raise other people.
And to then also see this woman who murdered your child appeal 4 fucking times. She did try to appeal the last one, but it got rejected.
Assault somebody else, prove that this was not a one and done. She's going to do it again. She's a violent person who has no remorse.
And then get let out. And granted, like, yes, there was time in between those, but like, that is still the course of events that happened. And so I feel so heavily for this family. And I don't know, my heart goes out to Manjeet. He deserves all of the peace he can find in this bullshit. It is so hard.
My stomach hurts more now than...
I'm sorry.
I'm really pissed that she's out. What the fuck?
I know. Oh, also, just in case you're in Canada and you need to, like, be on the lookout, Kelly did also change her name from Kelly Ellard to Carrie Sim.
Huh.
So, Carrie's out.
Bitch.
Yeah.
I think you just have to hope that she's... I don't necessarily have faith in it, but I have to believe that she's made some positive change and that she's putting some fucking good in.
Well, I can...
Because she took a lot of good out.
Fucking pray. You know what I mean? And the fact is, truly, after all of this, if someone who stuck with their kid through all of the shittiness of being a teenager and didn't get that other side of relief of, like, my kid's grown and understands what all we went through, can still say she was a good person and damn it, if she was alive today, she'd be helping other people. That says so much about who Rena was. And the fact that I don't have anything but the blind faith and optimism in Canada's parole board to say that, fuck, maybe Kelly Carey did some sort of growth.
Kelly Carey.
Carrie Kelly. Keller Carey.
Sims.
Mm-hmm. I have to hope. I have to. Because that's all there is. And at the end of the day, I want to just bring up, there's some media that I want to bring attention to.
Mm.
So the first is that I've linked a thesis by Sheila, and I'm so sorry, I think it's Bhattacharya, that I found incredibly interesting, called Racism, Girl Violence, and the Murder of Rena Virk, which talks a lot about bullying and racism and a lot of these institutions and education that Rena's family found so important and really advocated to learn more about. I've linked that down below. But also, I noted that in mid-April this year, I think it's April 16th, Hulu is coming out with a special on this case called Under the Bridge. And it's actually based on a book that was written in like 2005 about it.
Oh, wow.
So I will definitely be watching that. This seems like a really nice entryway if you guys are interested and want to hear more. I can't wait to see it. So that's on Hulu this April.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was the horrifying, horrifying, tragic murder of Rena Virk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everything hurts.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I'm so sorry.
What an important reminder, though, of just fucking be a decent person.
Oh my gosh, it's not hard.
We try to take what we can learn from everything, and I don't know that there was anything Rena could have done differently. I mean, it was a matter of just being there.
Yeah.
That maybe that set of circumstances was what it took for that to happen, but had that been a week later or a week earlier, would that have happened in the same way?
Who knows?
You know? Did that rumor just hit that day or 2 days beforehand that it was fresh and people were mad before they were over it?
Right.
Why should that even matter?
And in an isolated field bridge behind a school. Like, it's so heartbreaking. And I think that, yeah, like, the takeaway is don't be a dick. Like, I, you know, that seems like a pretty easy one. But also just, fuck, like, remember what it's like to be a teenager and then just be so glad that you're not one anymore.
Yeah, and if you are a teenager or you know teenagers, impress on them that what they do and say matters.
And that it's only a matter of time until the reasons that they want to pull their hair out right now are gone. You know, when you're a kid, you don't decide who you live with. You don't decide who you go to school with, who you see every day, the things that you have to endure. And yes, I am calling geometry something that I had to endure. I hated it. But then it was over. And mm-hmm. Yeah, it sucked. Like, it felt like hell the whole time you're there. But then you get out and you're like, oh, I have some autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
I can decide who I'm around. I can decide where I want to go. And things get a whole hell of a lot better. And if you're a kid out there and you're struggling and there's bullying or mental health or things that you just fucking hate, like loading the dishwasher the way that your parents insist is the right way to load a dishwasher, because apparently that's a thing, which, mom, dad, it is. I'm sorry. you get to go and do that and find that for yourself. And it's okay to wait it out, because it will end if you wait it out.
Wow.
Yeah, this was a shitty case. And I thought about doing a coverage of Amanda Todd, which was a really big cyberbullying one. But I think that this case, it's not more important or less important, but it's a different variation of the same thing we see all the time, which is just like, tap into that empathy. You have it. You've been through shit. Everyone has. Someone else is going through it too. You don't have to be a dick to them. Like, everyone's just trying their fucking best.
And even if they're not, doesn't mean you shouldn't.
Right. And if they're not, I'm assuming it's because they don't have the tools to be able to handle what's happening.
I still think you should cover the Amanda Todd case.
Oh, I will. It's, that is like,
I know it's on your list.
It's on my list. It's also one of those that is such a good example of how fucking permanent the internet is and the things that you do.
Ugh.
And the way that that follows you. And, you know, it's really important. Basically, that case was a girl who made a split second decision on a live stream and ended up taking her own life because it followed her through cities, through schools, through moves, all of these things.
Mm.
And it's devastating and it deserves its own coverage. But this case, you know, Rena was a teenager. She didn't make a split second decision that someone screenshotted. She was just a person trying to exist through high school. And some asshat with a cigarette and a Converse sneaker decided that that was the end of her life. And now she, and he now did she, help move her.
And now she has kids.
Yeah.
So that's great. Well.
So I would love to just remind people that Psychology Today is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, you can put in your little insurance info, put where you are. Find a therapist, dig into some of that shit, some of that soon to be mommy issues, probably soon to be daddy issues for some of these kids. And I don't know, hope that things get a little better when you have more control over your own life.
Well, if you want to see photos of the people, places, and things we're talking about, if you want to see the pod pets that we love oh so much, and if you want to send us pod pets too, we also love that. We have resources, we have reprieves, we have victim service information, we have all of that and more. Our Instagram page, if I may say so myself, is actually a fun place to be. It's happening. You should be there.
Yes.
If they wanted to check that out, Abby, where would they go for that?
So if they wanted to look at all of that and more and also see all of the cute memes and pets. Oh my God, all the pod pets. They're all so the precious. They could go on Instagram. They could type in that little search bubble, About Time for True Crime Pod, with periods in between every word. So that is ABOUT period TIME period FOR period TRUE period CRIME period POD, because podcast was too long. If that's too long, you can't remember. Don't worry, babes. It's down below in the link tree. But if you wanted to send us something too long, something with your hopes, your dreams, the frustration that you wanted to scream at the world when you heard this case, like I did, you could send that to our email. And as long as you're not being a creep, we will always respond. Allie, where can they email us?
If you're not creepy, you can send it to, well, actually, if you are creepy, send it to Abigail. No, I'm just kidding. if you are not, you can send it to About Time, the number 4TC@gmail.com. So that's ABOUTTIME, numeric 4TC@gmail.com. We love you. We'd love to see you there. And if I check my clock, that was
about time for true crime.
Bye.
Bye.